You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into part three of this 7-part limited run series called Game Gone Wrong, where we look at the final season of Game of Thrones and discover whether it's as bad as everybody says. Because your friend, me, the lawyer, Big Dave, I have never seen season 8 of Game of Thrones. Whereas my two partners in crime, the one and only PC Tunney, the one and only DJ, the man with the greatest beard in all of podcasting, they have seen season 8, but probably not in a few years. So we're going back through this one episode at a time. As I watch it, we get reactions to it. DJ and Tunney are rewatching it. They're reacting to it. And we're trying to discover, A, is it as bad as people say it is? And B, if so, where did things go off the rail? Here's a preview for you guys. It is not here on this episode, which is episode 2 of season 8 of Game of Thrones, the episode titled A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And so before we get into this, let me welcome you guys back in here. Let's start with the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend of all things chair shot related, the one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing, man?
Hi, I'm currently watching 5 goals in the first less than 14 minutes of Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Defense is optional.
Which is absolutely effing insane. But I'm doing great. You know, I love what we're doing here. I had a really good time and have a lot of good thoughts about episode 2. So I'm excited. I'm excited once again. You know, the what is it? The flipples? The napples? The nipples?
The niplets.
The niplets, there they are.
Your niplets are excited. It's always good when you have your niplets on fire. That's when you're doing good podcasting. Welcoming into the show, of course, the third half of the triumvirate of podcasting. Ooh, wow, we might need to market that bad. The triumvirate of podcasting.
Wow. You're subconsciously stealing there.
From who? You?
The DWI podcast.
You guys call yourself the triumvirate?
Well, originally the Mike Man, DPP, and myself were the triumvirate trifecta of triangular podcasting. Do you believe me now?
It sounds like we're murdering a president. We're triangulating fucking shit here. It's like the Kennedy assassination. Let's triangulate this bitch. Anyway, I'm not trying to steal anything subliminally or otherwise. I am just trying
trigonometry?
Trigonometry, three legs. Some of us, maybe, exactly. But I do want to welcome back into the show the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend in his own right, the man with the greatest beard in all of podcasting anywhere, the one and only DJ. DJ, how the hell are you doing, buddy?
I was doing great until you guys introduced words with more than three syllables, and my brain overloaded.
Sorry.
So it's that moonshine. I may be lost drinking for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, you still drinking that moonshine? You know, pulling back the curtain, we recorded an episode of Unidentified History earlier, probably coming out before this one will. DJ, you were drinking
hazelnut moonshine, and it is gone.
Damn, you didn't need to fix that shit.
DJ, do you keep, considering your award-winning beard, do you keep every pair of scissors in your house under lock and key, which you only have the key to? And provide extensive supervision during usage.
Why did you have to say locking? Was that really necessary, Tony?
You just triggered
you
me.
Because you and that son of a bitch villain part-timer motherfucker coming back making me do another project.
It was making not me.
Watch
me.
Fucking the, making me watch The Witcher fucking season dumbass.
So we have now blended unidentified history, the game gone wrong, and now the bandwagon nerds.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, that's what we do. I mean,
it is the chair shot universe.
We're blending multiple franchises. We've merged Lock and Key with The Witcher. Oh my God. That's
the attitude of aggression universe.
Yeah.
That sounds like a clusterfuck waiting to happen.
Dude.
That's
if you merge The Witcher and Lock and Key together, you get Lock and shit, you know?
Is that like you knock on the door and she opens it and like, I'm here for the clusterfuck?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Speaking of clusterfucks, let's get back to Game Gone Wrong. But this is not a clusterfuck. So episode 2, as I indicated, is called A Knight of the Seven Kings. And so let's break this down, guys, and get into our thoughts about this. I thought this was an excellent episode. It is very much the calm before the storm. I mean, it is everything about the people involved as they are on the verge of this climactic battle between everybody at Winterfell and the Night King and his army of death and darkness and all that sort of stuff. So it's really all about the people involved, and you get to see some of the stories that are unfolding and it's, you know, juxtaposed against what's about to happen out on the battlefield. So the first big thing to talk about, Jaime Lannister facing the Starks, and Jaime's got a lot to answer for, including pushing Bran out of a window and paralyzing him. He basically shows up because he's turned his back on his sister and lover and the mother of his child unborn. And he's going to stand trial before Daenerys, Sansa, and Jon for his past. And Daenerys is really harsh towards Jaime because she's very pissed off that Cersei has shockingly lied and betrayed her. And therefore, she's not showing up and her armies are not showing up to fight this fight. So she's very upset with Jaime about that. She's even more upset with Tyrion, who...
Well, he also murdered her father. He's the Kingslayer.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
He's the Kingslayer. He murdered her father. So she's super pissed about that, too. So there's multiple reasons why Daenerys is mad at Jaime.
Yeah, I can't imagine why she's pissed off about it. At the end of the day, this does not look like it's going to end very well for Jaime for obvious reasons. And DJ just made the most obvious correlation of all of them. And then Brienne vouches for Jaime. And this leads Sansa, who thinks the world of Brienne because Brienne's always been there for her. She's been the bastion of support and safety for Sansa throughout all this stuff. When Brienne steps up to the plate for Jaime and vouches for him, Sansa decides to rally for his support. And that kind of turns the tide. And now Jaime is welcomed in. I don't know about welcomed, but he's allowed into the inner circle and is allowed to fight for them. So, Deej, you kind of mentioned already why Daenerys was so pissed off. And to say also what I was saying before you got in there and reminded me of that was that Daenerys is really pissed off at Tyrion because she's like, how the fuck could you not know your sister was lying? She's a lying whore all the time. Why didn't you know this? All right, maybe she left out the lying whore part. I might have added that myself, but it doesn't mean it's not true. So, Deej,
historically, you know who you're dealing with.
Yes. I go to you first on this first part where Jaime Lannister basically faces the Starks, faces his fate, and through a big endorsement from Brienne is allowed into the inner circle, so to speak.
I think it's an amazing opening sequence because, again, Jaime, in his evolution of character and this ongoing story arc with him, has come back around and he's ready. He knows what awaits him at this tribunal. Like, he knows that if this does not go in any way his way, he's going to lose his head. And so there's the courage in that and his understanding that, like, look, I'm probably going to die here, but I need to do it anyway. I need to make right by these people, even if they kill me. Huge, huge leap forward for him. Brienne has to be in a show that had so few pure of heart characters. She was the most pure of heart. And I absolutely loved her character, loved her story arc with her and Jaime. And this comes to full fruition here. In whatever way possible, she loves him and he loves her. And Sansa taking Brienne at her word, understandably so, again, trusting her, was a well-written, that little segment was just well-written and well-done, well-performed.
Tony, your thoughts on this opening segment with Jaime and the Starks?
I just want to preface everything we're going to do in this episode by saying, yes, the title is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, right? Let me give you three alternate titles. Loose Ends Tied Up. Relationship Arcs Come Full Circle. The Fan Service Episode. And we all love it. It does all of those things, and we're going to get to all of those things moving forward. It's one of my favorite episodes in the entire series because it does that, and it does it really in a really clever way. You talk about Jaime laying it all out there, you know, he's humble, and it's going to show. We're going to get to that when he has a conversation with Brienne down the line here in this episode. But to open with this, it gets you. Right. They stand up for him. His brother, the facials that Tyrion gives Peter Dinklage, just tormented on the back and forth. And then the power struggle that we're going to get into between Daenerys and Sansa, you know, the personality of Sansa and the really the only one person that she'll listen to moving forward. But this Jaime thing was excellent to start out with. And yeah, like DJ said, that was so true. She is probably the most moral compass person and or at least one of
Westeros.
Amen.
She's never been compromised. I mean, she's always been straight, she's always been loyal.
She must have the motto of the more you stand for, the less you fall for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Speaking of her conversation with and it's interesting because Jaime basically asks Brienne if he could fight by her side, right? And she's kind of like, although she vouched for him, she's still a little bit noncommittal about that aspect of things. But you could tell, like Tony's saying, there's this unspoken, or one of you said it, I think it was you, Deej. There's this unspoken love between them that's not like sexual attraction. It's a deeper bond, almost brother-sister-like, but without the incest, that sort of thing. So Jaime wants to fight by her side. Brienne's kind of noncommittal about it. You also get the big thing that at the end of the first episode where Bran and Jaime are looking at each other.
Dave, I want to say, I think it is a love for each other, like in an attractive would be with each other kind of way. But they both know, she knows that he loves Cersei, and he knows that she knows that he loves Cersei, right? So it's never going to happen, even though they did have their.
I think there's more, but Dave, finish what you're going to say because I want to pick you back up. No, you're good. You're good.
There is Tormund who's looking for the big woman. Oh, so
I love that dude.
Well,
I love that guy.
Let me just say in quotes, that's how I got so strong. Giant's milk.
That's right.
Is the big woman here?
It's the big woman here.
I laughed out loud.
We get the big moment between Jaime and Bran, with Jaime apologizing. How do you apologize for shoving somebody out the window and paralyzing him? Well, he tries, you know. But the thing is, you're not really dealing with Bran anymore. This is the three-eyed raven. Bran, it's like The Shining. Danny isn't here now, Mrs. Torrance. Bran's not here now, Jaime. This is somebody totally different, somebody who has ascended and evolved into a different entity being altogether. And that's basically the message that Bran gives Jaime is like, it's all right, because if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gotten to where I am now. And I wouldn't be the three-eyed raven. And his level of forgiveness, even without ever saying, I accept your apology, is really cool, because Bran's like, it's just like, he's above this shit, Jaime. There's bigger things going on. This stuff doesn't matter. And I thought that part was really kind of cool. And the level of the look of perplexion on Jamie's face. Really? Yeah, really. I thought was great. Tony, you're laughing.
He's like a cereal that keeps you regular. He's like 5% Bran right now, you know.
He's Bran flakes. So, yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Tony. Your thoughts on the scene between Bran and Jaime and the apology that kind of was unnecessary.
It's important to Jaime, though. Right. Like DJ, he shows up and sees him and is kind of in shock, and like, and Bran makes the comment towards him too about what had happened. So he feels it's necessary to go ahead and go back and make amends or say something to him, because there was that awkward moment when he first came up. Right. I forget the exact jab that he threw at him when he ended up there. Oh, what we won't do for family, something like that. He said to him, right? And that's the real reason he needed to say something, I feel like. Otherwise, his only real business was joining them and finding Brienne.
All right, Deej, what are your thoughts on the apology and all that kind of stuff between Bran and Jaime here?
I think, again, this speaks more to Jaime's character arc and him needing to make amends with these people that he feels he was at least involved in wronging. And some of them indirectly, and in Bran's case, absolutely directly. And, you know, again, Bran, he's like you guys talked about, he's like, I'm not that guy, and I wouldn't be that guy if I wouldn't be where I am now if you hadn't done what you'd done. As far as the Brienne thing, we have to think about the backdrop of what's going on. They're all about to go to war, and it's a war that all of them knows they can't win. Like, they know what's coming, and they all know we're not going to survive. And that's really what this episode is about, is everybody making not only amends with each other, but making peace with themselves. And I think in Brienne's own way, not only, you know, does she not trust Jaime's heart, she doesn't trust her own. And she doesn't want to bring Jaime into battle with her, knowing that he's going to die, knowing that she may die. She doesn't want to see him die. She doesn't want him to see her die. That's what I took out of it. You know, aside from, you know, the obvious, look, I still don't trust your ass, even though I'm in love with you.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, there's a lot to that. And it does lead to quite possibly one of the most emotional scenes of the entire series, which is where, you know, and it's interesting to me because that emotional moment, and it's interesting to me because, like, despite Jaime asking Brienne if he could join her in the fight, what happens next or later on, Jaime's the only one who can do this. And he knights Brienne, which is what she's always wanted for basically the entirety of the fucking series. And it's Jaime who's the one who knights her. And, like, because Tyrion makes a mistake of calling her sir and then says, oh, I'm sorry, you're not a knight. And Jaime's like, well, anybody can be a knight. I'll prove it to you. Now, Jaime is a knight. So when he knights her, oh, my God, that clearly one of the most emotional moments of the entire series. I got a little emotional about it watching it. It is a just such a powerful moment. And the look in her eyes and just everything about that, whatever else happens in season 8, I don't care so much because that moment there made it all worth it. What a tremendous emotional, I think I even made the comment to you in the chat, right? I said, when Jaime knights Brienne, oh my gosh. Deej, I'll go to you first now. That scene, what does that mean to you as far as Brienne, as far as the series is concerned?
Oh, it's a beautiful moment. It's emotionally just cuts you to the core because, again, that is her everything. It's everything to that character because as a woman in Westeros, you cannot be knighted. And Jaime's like, well, fuck that. One, I feel a certain way about it now. And two, we're all about to fucking die anyway. You know, what do the rules matter at this point at the end of the world?
Sure.
You know, at the end of everything, what do the rules matter? Fuck it. This is what we're doing. And I love that.
Tony, what do you think, man? I mean, DJ hit it on the head. Who gives a shit? We're all going to die. There is that overriding theme. Like, I think you guys hit it perfectly. They're going into a battle that they know they cannot win. Except Tyrion or somebody who says, I think we have a shot of winning. I don't know who it was who said that later on. But the odds are very, 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 very long again. I mean, there's even like the comment, can Dragonfire hurt the Night King? Nobody's ever tried before. So I imagine that's going to be a big part moving into the next episode. But your thoughts on Brienne being knighted, by Jaime here.
You know, it's funny because this is truly the loose ends episode because it's just going from character to character, spending their last moments before the shit hits the fan, and it's coming. I mean, it's real close. Like you said, like, it's the end of the world. This plane's going to go. We're going to die in 10 minutes. What do you want to do for the next 10 minutes, right? What situation would you like to be stuck in? Like, this is 1B with Jaime and Brienne and Tyrion and Tormund and Davos and I can't remember Podrick. Brienne's squire.
Podrick.
And 1A is to be Gendry. That's no doubt. We'll get to that.
We're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's 1A for me at least. But like, it's just so cool. It really is. It's there's a couple of things that made me cry, like that bring tears into your eyes and well up. And it was the beginning when Brian stood up for Jamie, and it was here when Jamie showed the respect and utter, like, just total respect. And is like, you know what? If anybody deserved ever, it's you, and I have that power.
Yeah, you mentioned the collection of everybody around the fire as this moment is taking place. You know, you got
booze,
lots of booze.
It's true.
It is. Podrick sings "Jenny of Old Stones," which is, and I mean, the song itself is pretty emotional and touching, but just kind of how they go from each of these characters as the song is going on in the background. And you get to see these little moments with each of these characters. And you realize that, I mean, and you know, anybody who has watched the show knows, and you can see that, well, there's fucking four episodes after that. So I know not all of them die, but you know, you go into this thing and you watch this and you say, I wonder how many of these make it out of here in one piece. And I don't know. I can't imagine all of them do, but I know some of them do. And it's a really touching moment.
Huh? All of them. It's none of them.
It's none of them. Okay. Other four episodes are just like, who gives a shit? It's just like, it's just Cersei marching over the Night King. It might be. I don't know. But I thought.
Cersei and the Gold Company.
Yeah. Exactly. Or Cersei and the Gold Company. Just the montage of the characters involved with the song going on in the background, I thought was really, really a cool moment. I don't know if you guys got any thoughts about that.
Again, it gives you that suspension of disbelief. The way the scene plays out, this is your last chance as the viewer to say goodbye to these characters in light of impending end of the world type stuff. And they play it out very well. And again, you are asking that question. You're like, who's going to survive this? And in good writing fashion, because this happens on every show, one of the heroes will have this wonderful moment and then they die. So when I first saw this the first time, when they knighted Brienne, my first thought was, oh, fuck, not her. You know, because historically, that's just what happens on these shows. And honestly, it was so well done that, yeah, that was my first thought. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, no, not Brienne. Anybody but Brienne. Anybody in this room but Brienne.
Tony, what do you think, man?
I think we're all going to die, but at least we die together. In the words of Tormund, I think the people who know what they're dealing with do not expect to win this battle.
Right.
At all. And the people that are too naive to, well, I don't want, we'll just stop where I'm at right now. So, I mean, this is the perfect pre-storm episode. This is the perfect pre-calm before the storm, perfect fan service. I'll say it again. Tyloo sends up, you know, story arcs, relationship arcs. You talk about Sandor Clegane and Aya being up there with the guy with the one eye who creates fire and stuff like that, them all getting together and stuff. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different, like, old Kingsguard who's handing out the soup, and the little girl comes up.
That's one of my favorite sinks.
That's Davos.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, asking about where do I go to fight, and you know, and then
and he sees the grayscale on her face, and it reminds him, Stannis's daughter who got burnt alive,
Samuel Tully's girl, I forget her name,
Jilly
comes over and is like, you know, it'd really be nice if you would protect all of us in the crypt. And when she looks up at him and says, you know, with like a firm belief of someone who is like a seasoned, like, you know, 5-tour military veteran, is like, you know what, I think I will protect those people for you.
This, like, is my purpose.
It was like one of the most well-delivered lines in the entire series by this child. And it was so, like, piercing as you watched.
Another scene that I liked was Arya on the wall with the Hound.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Yeah. You know, the great. Hound is just being the Hound, and they have a nice little semi-sentimental reaction or interaction between the two of them, because she's like, she says something. He's like, well, I fought for you, didn't I? And so it kind of establishes and kind of comes full circle with their relationship. And then I forget who the third person was that came up and joined them.
It was the guy with one eye with the bandana who did the flame sword.
Yes, that guy. He and the Hound have an interaction, and Ari is just like, this is not how I want to spend the last hours of my life. And I just thought that was such a neat little scene. And again, it's playing to the backdrop of impending doom.
Aya is asking the Hound, like, why are you here? Like, he's like, I'm
what's
here to
your
fight,
purpose?
But like, why are you here? You know? But that was encouraged by him saying, you know, you used to be so chatty. Why are you so quiet now?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You used to not be able to shut the fuck up. Now you just won't say anything. You guys had mentioned the little girl and going down to the crypts and that sort of thing. So, you got to mention the strategy here, which is to take all the non-fighters, Gilly, Varys, Missandiel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it.
Even Missandei. Missandei. Grey Worm's girl.
Yeah. Even Tyrion's going into the crypts during the battle. Tyrion doesn't want to go down there because he's a fighter. ChatGPT is doing its best to spoil stuff for me. And it's saying, hey,
stay off of it.
Yeah. It's saying that this crypt strategy comes in relevant later. I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens there. But so a lot of the non-fighters are going into the crypt. I imagine that'll have something to do the next episode. But let's talk about Daenerys and Sansa and a very tense conversation that they have with each other, which is, it starts off tense, and like most of the conversations that Daenerys has, it starts off tense, then she does her best to kind of soften things and reach a common ground, and then it gets turned around on her because Sansa makes it clear to her that the North will never kneel again, even when she's on the throne. And of course, that is going to lead to some tension. There is an alliance. It is, in my opinion, extremely fragile at this point. And there's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of uneasiness against them, about them. They seem to do share some common ground and some mutual respect for each other. But that's about as far as it'll go, because at the end of the day, Sansa's like, the North is not going to kneel to you. So if that's what you're after, fuck off. And Daenerys coming to an understanding of that. Tony, I go to you first.
I just want to say this is all prefaced by a nudging from Jorah to Daenerys to go do a couple of things. One is forgive Tyrion, and the other is to make peace with Sansa. And Jorah's the only person that can give, I don't want to say wayward, but slightly opposing corrective advice to her without her being, for lack of a better term, sore over it, right? So it's interesting. I think they're fine, actually. I don't think this relationship is as rocky as you think. I think how this episode ends makes things really interesting, and them having to come to the conclusion of that is what maybe soured this series for some people. But I think these girls are okay, actually. I think Daenerys is okay with that deep down. She just doesn't want to show it. And, you know, the imposing doom stops this relationship talk dead in its tracks.
He's talking like somebody who's seen this show before or something, Deej. I don't know. What do you think? Or not. Well, DJ's got something else going on. So, Tony, you act like you've seen this show before or something like that.
I'm trying not to give anything away. I'm just giving opinions. I mean, like, as far as where we're at right now, because honestly, I don't necessarily remember how everything plays out moving forward. Okay. I remember the broad scope of the ending, but like, I hadn't watched this series for probably a couple of years until I did the first 7 seasons, you know, leading up to the holidays this end of the last year. So, Deej, jump
back
in,
to you,
brother.
DJ. The Arya, or not Arya, Sansa Daenerys situation.
Yeah, it's obviously tense because, and it starts at the beginning of the episode when Daenerys is ready to just behead Jaime. Brienne steps in. Sansa, in her own way, because again, we are in Winterfell and Sansa is in control of Winterfell in her head, kind of steps on Daenerys' authority in a way by saying, okay, you know, I forgive him. You know, and if I forgive him, she's kind of putting Daenerys on the spot. You need to forgive him too, because we need as many people as we can get. You know, Sansa has a better understanding of the scope of things, I think, than Daenerys does, because Daenerys, while she understands what's coming, she has gold lust for the throne right now.
She's also got two dragons at her back. So in her mind, she's probably thinking, I don't give a fuck what they throw at me. These two dragons are going to beat everything's ass.
Not understanding the fact that they've already got one of your dragons.
Yes.
At the same time, though, like Sansa like calls her out and says that women can play men like a fiddle, to which Daenerys replies, like, okay, my only goal in life was to take the Iron Throne, but yet here I am in a land that I've never been to, in a climate I've never been in, fighting a war for your brother.
Because I love him.
Who played who?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, she does, and that's where Sansa comes to realize that. I think when Sansa realizes that she really does
Daenerys'
love...
Daenerys' intent is real.
She really does love Jon, and that's what kind of gets Sansa to soften, is once she realizes that John loves her, she loves John, this is real for now. That's where Sansa kind of softens her stance up to the point where they start talking about Winterfell and the North not bending the knee to anybody. So it's a tenuous relationship that they have. Obviously, they've got a bigger thing to worry about than some squabbling about who's in control of who's going to bend the knee to who. And it seems like they kind of reach that reluctant understanding by the end of all this. And like Tony says, the impending doom is going to have to force you put that in the back burner. There are much bigger fish to fry right now. All right. Let's move on then. Let's see what else we got. We got Arya and Gendry. this is a fun relationship. I love this relationship because, you know, Gendry's busy making weapons for everybody else but Arya. And he's supposed to be making a weapon for her. And he doesn't fully realize just how badass she is until we get into this episode and he starts seeing the things that she can do. Throwing daggers, grouping them all together. Shooting arrows, grouping them all together. He brings her, what is it? I guess it's a dragonglass spear? Spire? Is that what he brings her? Which I'm sure is going to come in handy. And in the midst of all this, Arya is basically like quizzing him. It's like the Inquisition, asking about how many chicks have you fucked? How much of dad ass have you already had in Winterfell?
No, that was when they got together later. She didn't do that when they were in the Smith thing.
Yeah. She's alluding to it the whole time. You can tell what she wants throughout the whole episode.
The biggest thing is when she first visits him while he's making the weapons, she's watching him make the weapons like I fucking the shit out of him. When he takes the hot dragon glass and sticks it in the, I mean, like, that's like her. She's like, okay, that's where she got the idea. Like, I need to make this happen before I die.
Yeah, she spends the whole episode horny.
DJ and I have watched this three times now. Literally go back and watch that part of the episode again. Watch when she walks up to the blacksmith shop. It is all her for like, it is like the beginning of a Penthouse magazine fucking article.
So lots and lots of sexual innuendo is what PC Tunney is saying.
It's ridiculous.
It's dripping, dude.
It is.
Oozing. And so was she. Oozing. So was she by the end of this episode. Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
We just had to go there.
Yep. And there it is.
1A, scenario 1A for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the end of this whole thing, as they're in the back and Arya's like, you know, asking him, well, how many chicks have you been with? And he's like, oh, you can't remember. And she's quizzing him. He finally says three. And she's like, I want to know what it's like before I die. And they get it on. And I was like, cool. See, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Tony made the analogy earlier or mentioned it. If you're on a plane, you know, you only got 10 minutes left. What are you going to be doing? Fucking? Probably. That's one of the things.
Yeah.
What am I going to tell anybody I know that they don't already know? Me personally, nothing. I'm going to find a wormhole and fucking fiery death.
I'm looking for dead ass. I don't care how many miles up
Too bad this game gone wrong, because that's a great title episode, A Wormhole and a Fiery Death.
Wow. I think that might have to be the title. So, why not? Why not? I mean, it could be interpreted many, many different ways. A wormhole and a fiery death.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Arya, Gendry, they get it on. Off to the races they go. Let's get to the very end, because at the end of the episode, we get the big reveal. I mean, and Jon's talking to Sam about this stuff, about whether he's told Daenerys the truth about his heritage. And nothing happens. And Jon does seem in this episode, once he learns, he starts to distance himself from Dany a little bit. And you can see that. And she's like confused as to why is he like kind of aloof, that sort of thing. You get into the crypts. Jon tells Daenerys that he's Aegon Targaryen, son of Rhaegar and Lyanna Stark, because Jon is standing in front of the statue of Lyanna. And Daenerys is like, oh, she was raped. And Jon says, no, she wasn't. And then the whole fucking truth comes out. Daenerys is obviously visibly shaken, questions the validity of this. Jon tells her where he got it from. Bran saw it. Sam confirmed it with the records from the Citadel. It's true. So you've got two things going on in Dany's mind. First off is the relationship, because in Westeros, incest is best. And we get another example of it right here with you've got Jon and Daenerys. But beyond that, she realizes now that Jon has a rightful claim to the Iron Throne, which is like, you know, we talk about Brienne's sole purpose is being knighted. Dany's sole purpose for the entirety of the series has been to reclaim the Iron Throne. And now she's faced with the fact that not only is there a legitimate other rightful heir to this, but it's her relative and she's sleeping with him. It doesn't get much more fucked up than that, kids. DJ, I go to you first on this thing. Man, that family tree, that's a straight line. It comes back up here. And
not a big deal, right? DJ, it's the Targaryens.
That's true. If your family tree does not branch, you might be Targaryen.
Or West Virginia, one or the other.
If you got an uncle sleeping with a niece, you might be Targaryen.
No, this is crazy. And the reveal is just, it's well done. It's well done because... He's so reluctant
to tell her.
God, this sucks. He's like, this is the hottest piece of ass I've ever gotten. And she's my aunt or whatever the relation was.
You're my
and he's
sister. Probably looking over. It's like Joe Dirt. You would help if you went back to thinking I'm your sister.
And he's got to be cursing Sam's name.
Yeah.
Like, you cock-blocking son of a bitch. You could have held off just a little bit longer on telling me this. Yeah, so, no, in all seriousness, this blows the whole season wide open here. And now we're off to the races to the end. And it's just chef's kiss.
Tony?
Yeah. I mean, we knew it was coming, right? Like, you knew the information was had. I think, Dave, you probably had an idea once she got down to the Winterfell crypts that there was going to be a possibility that this is where, like, you're waiting for this to get revealed once you found out, right?
Yeah, I figure when you start looking at the thumbnails for the episodes, like the next one is like The Longest Night. So you know that the next episode's all about the fight. And then, you know, the aftermath, I would think.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I just want to fuck with you a little bit.
No.
There's one thing we didn't talk about that I do want to talk about before, after we finish this up, though.
Go ahead. Keep rolling.
You want me to go ahead right now?
Sure.
The battle plan as with Bran as bait, I think is really big.
Yes.
And that scene where they're deciding what they're going to do. And they're like, we want it. And Bran shows them like, I have been touched. I've been marked. He knows where I am at all times. Like, this is the only way. Right. And people finally buy into the fact that Bran knows, like, what he's saying isn't bullshit. They finally actually like we talked 40-60 on Unidentified History. Make sure you go back and listen to that. It's an excellent episode, the second episode. But this is going to happen. He's coming for me. It's 99%.
Yeah,
and it's a huge part of what's going to happen.
It is, and he's got that connection. Like you said, he's been marked. He knows the Night King. He can kind of tell his thoughts. Using him as bait is a brilliant maneuver because he wants Bran So put Bran out there, get him away from everything else, get him in the open, because the strategy that John comes up with is very much that hive mind mentality. If we take out the Night King, the rest of them will fall. It's like hey, Tony, it's all Star Wars. Let's take out the mothership. All the fucking drones will die.
Right. Well, and it's on each side, too, because it's already been established that the Night King, if he can take out Bran, he can be eternal because there will be no more expectation, observation, and, you know, interpretation towards the rest of the world.
Right.
Yeah. It is a brilliant strategy. Tony's right. Deej, your thoughts on the ultimate battle plan to get the Night King out in the open and then take him the fuck out and hope that it disconnects everybody else?
I think it's a solid plan. I think it's and using Bran as bait makes the most sense. He's the goal. He's, you know, what this guy's chasing after. So yeah, it's good.
And we end the episode with the Night King and his army of the dead approaching Winterfell, and that's where we cut out with the Jenny Oldstone song playing in the background. I love this episode. Yeah, it's a little slower paced, but it had to be, and that's okay because we're dealing with people. We're dealing with characters. We're dealing with the end game for a lot of these guys, or at least in their mind, you know, it is the end of the line. So I love the fact that it was slower paced. You got to spend some intimate time with some of your favorite characters. Everybody who's still left is here. Everybody who's still left and standing other than Cersei, and I don't give a fuck about her right now, but everybody who matters at this point in time is all in one place at one time. And really, through the entirety of Game of Thrones, can you ever say that? Through 7.5 seasons, have everybody important been in one place at one time? No, that's never happened before. Here we have that happening. So I think it's excellent. You get to see so many little personal details of these characters that you've grown up and loved for all these seasons. Tony, you're holding your head. What did I do wrong?
It's 3-3. He's watching a very tense hockey game right now.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it last week on Four Corners. Edmonton in 5, buddy. I'm still holding to that. Of course, unless Florida gets Tyler Halliburton to put on some skates, then all bets are off.
Tyrese
Halliburton. Somebody.
You were thinking of Tyler Hero.
Oh, you're right.
Two THs, TH. It's easily confused.
Too much THC. That's what's going on.
Yes.
Never.
Too much THC.
Never.
But that's going to do it for this week's this edition of Game Gone Wrong, Part 3. On the next episode, we do cover The Longest Night, which I imagine is going to be full of drama, lots of fighting. This was a slower burn, very deliberate, very personal. I expect the next episode to be extremely action-packed. And I'm looking.
They all just sleep. They got to go to sleep before they go to battle.
Wake up with hangovers. Yeah, they got to have some breakfast.
Everybody starts fucking because they're all got a warm.
Mimosas.
So wait, this is
like
the
hash browns and mimosas.
This is the warm hole part of the episode. The next one is the fiery death part.
This is less Minas Tirith and more Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wow.
Is the next episode.
Wow. So this is more Helm's Deep than Minas Tirith is what you're saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's more Balls Deep than Minas Tirith is what you're saying.
The ghost of Eddard Stark comes back and just destroys everybody with a lightsaber.
Awesome.
It's great.
With a lightsaber. All right. It's all Stark. Goddamn.
Well, you never seen it coming. You haven't watched before. Don't question me.
Think about it. Think about what if you put like, and I love talking about this. This is as nerdy as
there's
it gets.
There's a T-Rex too.
Yeah, it's as nerdy as it gets. Think about it. One lightsaber would make all the difference in Game of Thrones, right? Just one.
It would have been three seasons long.
Yeah, just one episode. Darth Vader versus the Night King. This is not going to end for you.
How'd you kill that dragon? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I just say, you know.
Meanwhile, there's steaks on the grill.
Yeah, fantasy booking 101. Darth Vader versus the Night King. This is going to be a quick fight.
So this is a mini series.
Yeah, I don't think Night King, you're not going to fare too well on this one, but you never know. Good stuff all the way around. Episode 2. I see no problems with Game of Thrones final season so far. We are 1/3 of the way there. So what could possibly go wrong other than everything? We'll see what this holds for us as we move forward. Tunney's being tight-lipped as always. DJ's trying to be tight-lipped.
DJ and I are just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
We don't want to give it away.
don't.
No, I can't.
Please don't. I'm enjoying not knowing anything. So I am enjoying my ignorance. And I know that.
And I'm enjoying watching you watch it through fresh eyes.
We need to ask him more questions.
Yeah,
we should. Yeah, next episode we'll do that.
But now, well, we only got a few left. But
yeah, we've only got a couple minutes.
In any event, guys, that's going to do it for
What's your social security number?
What's yours?
Well, I thought we were asking you more questions.
Oh, I thought they were related to the show, not, you know.
No.
What's your PIN?
867-5309.
It's more Jenny. There's a lot more Jenny. Jenny Oldstones, Jenny's phone number on the bathroom wall.
Jenny,
I got your number. I'm going to make you mine. Tony, give people your social media information. Where can people check you out when they're not getting your number off the bathroom stall somewhere in Wisconsin?
Oh, my goodness, Dave, you son of a biscuit. Follow me at PC Tony all over social media, mainly on X if you want my attention. Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. There you go.
For a good time, call DJ. And if they really want to hit you up on social media, where can they check you out?
You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod. And I want to invite
you. Uh-oh.
What happened?
From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will. If I wasn't supposed to do that, Tony, I'm sorry. All the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts. What?
You cut out.
You just cut out at the beginning.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Repeat what you're
saying. Anyway, that is ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Absolutely.
You guys can plug that whenever you want.
Yeah, there's lots of shirts there. They're all good for your niplets. As for me, I'm not ashamed to whore myself out. My number's on many bathroom stalls. Some people actually call me. If they're looking for an old time, they give me a call. You can check.
Well done.
Thank you. You can check me out on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Regression and at Attitude of Regression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Gone Wrong. We will see you guys again in a couple weeks, but in the next time you hear from Attitude of Regression, we're going to SummerSlam 95, fellas. Big Five Project returns. It's a much
Thanks
better...
Thanks for reminding me, because I forgot which one we were on.
Yeah, thank you. There, Tony's holding his head. It's a much better show. They get better from here. The worst is behind us, Tony. I'm telling you. The worst is behind us. We've got a watch-along worthy match we're going to check out. Stop, you know, stop the crying. It's just like, good God, he's inconsolable. Yeah, stop it. Oh, you're doing cocaine. Okay, I got it. Sorry, TK.
I'm telling you, the colonoscopy portion is
me
over.
And the Minister of France.
Yeah,
the colonoscopy that was King of the Ring is over. Think of SummerSlam as like that really good fart that you let out. That's so satisfying.
You've been holding it in the elevator the whole time, and then you walk out and just let it rip, man. It's
Yes.
I won't be happy. I won't be happy until we get to Mind Games 96. You understand?
Wait, we got a ways to go.
I don't know we're getting to that, but anyway, it's going to be a good time. Until next time, guys, this has been Game Gone Wrong. We will see you guys soon. Of course, Big Five Project returning, and then we'll be right back with more Game Gone Wrong, Unidentified History. Until next time, you know, guys, find a warm hole. Maybe avoid a fiery death. I don't know if you're what you're into, either or. We'll see you next time on the next edition of Game Gone Wrong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.